Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Inner West Local Planning Panel this afternoon. I'd firstly ask everyone who's in the gallery to go on mute until we call you, and we will then look forward to hearing from you. The role of the panel is to deal with development applications up to the value of $30 million, which are seen as being one, controversial, two, a variation to the planning controls requiring a 4.6 to the extent of a 10% variation. Might also be where they're seen as being, a conflict. In other words, the council may own the land or whatever. Pardon me. There's no declarations of conflict from the panel this afternoon, and the panel have individually inspected the various sites that we are considering. I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners, the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, whose country we are meeting on today, and whose elders, past and present, we respect and acknowledge. The minutes of the previous meeting have been seen and noted by this panel, being previously endorsed by the earlier panel. And we look forward to hearing from everyone that we have with us today. Pardon me. I would ask of you to be respectful of each other and indeed of the panel. And I'd ask you to firstly, not necessarily repeat what someone else has previously said. And secondly, try and contain your submission to 3 minutes. You will have read the recommendations, and if you've got a favourable recommendation, you may not wish to say too much and snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. So keep that in mind when you're considering what you might say. Can I introduce the panel to you? Firstly, I'm your chair today. My name is Gary Shields. I'm a planner of some number of years, both at a council and at a consultancy level. I've spent some time in the Land Environment Court as well. I've got 3 master's degrees in planning and a PhD, and I chair 3 different planning panels currently. Can I now introduce the panel, starting with Kim?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Gary. I'm Kim Cristani. I'm a fellow of the Australian Institute of Architects. I've had 30 years experience, some in private practice, some in state government, where I was the principal manager for the Sydney Metro project. Then local government, I was the city architect at Parramatta for 7.5 years, from 2015 to 2022, I think. That's correct. And I'm on design review panels now for Infrastructure New South Wales, and I'm also a jury member for and an expert on design competitions for large residential projects. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Gary.
Thank you, panel chair. Gary Chapman. I am a town planner with over 30 years experience in local government and the private sector. I have a master's of urban and regional planning, and I sit as a planning expert on 5 other local planning panels.
Nose in the trough.
And our community representative, Andrea.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, my name's Andrea Connell, and I'm the community rep on this panel. I'm a New South Wales public school secondary principal and have been for 25 years. And my background is in educational leadership, New South Wales public schools and amenities, particularly school operations pertaining to buildings, public school buildings, theatre spaces, and things of that nature.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, what we will be doing is hearing from our submitters this afternoon. That will be the first in our process of deliberations. We'll move through all of the items and hear from those who are seeking to present to us. Then we'll conclude the meeting, the public side of the meeting, and go into closed determination where we'll determine each of the applications, and the results of that determination will be placed on the website and will be available to you in the next 48 hours. So, Andrew, I think, or Celine, our first item two, we have a person who's listed here as an objector, but I understand from your later information that she is in fact a supporter of that application. Her name is Jenny Maleen. Jenny, are you there?
Jenny Molyneux, yes, I am here.
Molyneux. Thank you, Jenny. Would you like to...
But I'm not a supporter, I'm an objector.
Right, okay, so the notation here was correct. You're an objector. Thank you. There was a bit of miscommunication we had there. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it's all right.
Please address the panel.
And we're talking about the tree.
Just for the record, will you say your name and then what you'd like
my
to
name
tell
is,
us?
My name is Jenny Molyneux. I reside at 27 Francis Street, Enmore. And we're talking about the tree that is on property next door, 28 Francis Street.
And the numbering here is unusual, isn't it, where you don't go evens and odds, they go sequential.
Correct. Francis Street is one of those unusual streets in New South Wales that is sequential, not odd and even.
Thank you.
I don't know if you want to hear from Kate first, who is the owner of number 28, who submitted the application to have the tree removed. But
no,
as a neighbour,
we'd like to hear from you first, please.
I have lived in the property for 20 years, and I'm not sure whether you have seen photos of the tree over the last 8 years, but the tree 7 or 8 years ago probably wasn't even at fence height. It has now gone 10 times in size since. It now takes over half of my back house, my whole pergola. It blocks my entire northern light from the garden. It has stopped me from growing any plants whatsoever. They all die because it's all shaded, and it's a weed. It continues to grow uncontrollably, taking over, and even a prune is not going to stop this tree. It is now sprouting weeds up and down the entire street, and both the owner and myself would like it removed. It is causing me enormous stress and anxiety, taking over more than half my back property, and this has just been so distressing to watch this over the last 7 years. And several times we've gone to council asking to have this addressed and removed. The owner wants it removed as well. And it now sits within less than 1.5 metres of my back property, the trunk, less than 1.5 metres. And my understanding is that up until May last year, properties, trees that under 2 metres could be removed, and that rule changed less than a year ago.
Okay. So just clarifying your position and my clumsiness in explaining it, you're objecting to the council's recommendation.
Correct.
But you're supporting the applicant's
correct. Supporting the applicant.
Yeah.
Sorry, yes, for any confusion.
Okay.
Supporting the applicant 100%. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Panel, do you have any questions of Jenny?
I do, Chair, if you don't mind.
Thank you. Yes.
You mentioned 1.5 meters from your property. Can you just clarify 1.5 meters from your a building or your pergola
The
or?
back of my house, back of my house, the brick at the back of my house.
Okay.
So the brick wall at the back of my house
Yeah.
and the tree trunk is 1.5 meters from my property.
Yeah, okay. And have you, it might be difficult to answer, but is there any evidence over these years of damage to your property from
Well, the
the tree?
fence has risen for a start.
Right.
I mean, I don't know under the house with the roots and things, but I've obviously got untold cracks within my house. I mean, it's a ginormous, it's a huge tree, so I'm sure the root system will be across several properties.
Was that cracking evidence provided to the council? I guess not, because you're not the actual applicant. Is that fair?
Probably not,
Yeah.
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 And nor has anyone from council contacted me or come to inspect from my side.
Right. Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Anyone else on the panel like to ask a question? If not, can I then go to the applicant, Kate Benjamin?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Kate.
So, noting that I only have a few minutes of time today, I just wanted to bring the following key issues to the panel's attention, which I consider that the council failed to give sufficient weight to in its decision to refuse the application for the removal of the weed. So, the first issue is that the
Sorry, you
weed in
say weed.
weed is a
Is it?
Chinese Celtis. So I've had a look on the New South Wales Weedwise website, and it says that a Chinese Celtis is a weed which spreads quickly, outcompetes native trees and shrubs, and reduces habitat and food for native animals. Each tree produces thousands of seeds each year. Birds and flying foxes eat the fruit and spread their droppings, which means the weed will inevitably continue to spread to the detriment of native vegetation and wildlife. And Jenny alluded to this earlier when she indicated that the tree, well, the same weed, sorry, is sprouting up along the street. The council themselves acknowledged that the Celtis is a problematic weed during a phone call prior to the denial of our application and confirmed that a number of employees in the council considered that the Celtis is a problematic weed and that our application should be approved. We're considering issuing an FOI request to the council to confirm these internal discussions and the fact that our application did have some support or significant support within the council. And our application is not as clear-cut as the council's written rejections are making it seem. The second issue is that the council claims the only damage to property that the weed is causing is the dropping of leaves and fruit. This is not the case at all, as Jenny has just explained. The weeds are growing underneath the fence. They're growing into Jenny's property, potentially destabilizing her deck, and who knows what structural damage has occurred. Both we and Jenny have informed the council and put the council on notice of this damage. However, in the 2 times that it assessed the tree, it failed to go and inspect Jenny's property and actually consider the damage that has been caused to the neighbouring properties. And as Jenny's indicated herself, this is causing her significant mental distress. The third issue is the council claims it's provided us with several opportunities to change our application from weed removal to weed pruning. Pruning is just a temporary solution, which isn't going to address the fundamental problems that the weed is currently causing, and that is the damage to the neighbour's property. And again, the council failed to inspect any failed to inspect the neighbour's property in its rejection of our application on 2 occasions. And as Jenny mentioned, you know, I understand that the rule of a tree being able to be removed when it was 2 meters, oh, sorry, when it was 1 meter from the property was since changed just a few months before our application was lodged. And the fourth issue I want to highlight is that the council claims removing the weed, which is located solely within the backyard of the property and is not visible from the street, will impact upon the local character of the Inner West and the quality and character of the urban landscape. It's difficult to understand how the removal of a weed from a backyard damages the character of the neighbourhood, particularly when both neighbours who can view the weed from their living room want the weed to be removed and have informed the council on numerous occasions as to how much distress the presence of the weed is causing them. It also ignores.
Chair, 3 minutes is up. Thank you.
I've just got 30
Thank you.
seconds, if I may, if you may
Yes.
indulge me, Mr. Shields.
Yes, certainly, Kate.
The council's position also ignores the fact that the weed has not always been present on the property, but was planted by the previous owner and less than 15 years ago. In that period of time, as Jenny mentioned, the weed has grown to such an extent that it is now blocking natural light from our property and our neighbours' properties. And I can provide photos of this change. A weed planted less than 15 years ago in a backyard that blocks natural light cannot sensibly be considered to form part of the quality and character of the area. I respectfully request that the panel reconsider our application for removal of the Chinese celtis from our property, given the reasons I've just discussed, and in particular, the immense distress and harm that the presence of the weed is causing us and our neighbours. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do the any panellists have a question of okay? If not?
Kate, sorry, I may have missed this and I apologise. I was trying to decipher the weed. Distance from your building, Sonia, property?
Unfortunately, I don't live in the property at the moment. It's tenanted, so I'm not able to go and do that measurement.
Give me an approximate.
It would be similar to Jenny's, as you know, in the inner west houses.
Very close.
Yeah, okay. Correct. Thanks. It's a small block.
Yeah.
I think it's 190 square metres for the entire block.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I have a quick question. Thank you. Usually when somebody requests tree removal and there is some debate, councils usually ask for an arborist report. Has that been asked and has that been prepared? We understand the answer is no.
Ms. Cristani, I'm sorry, I'm not able to answer that question. My husband was actually the sort of the liaison person with the council. He can't attend today, which is why I'm speaking on behalf of the two of us. I could confirm that to you in writing if that would be helpful.
I guess that's up to the chair, but it's just a question of precedent setting. If other people want to remove trees, usually that's the procedure that I understand occurs. And I'm just wondering why it hasn't on this occasion. Maybe council can assist us to answer that question as well.
So are you saying there is no arborist report?
Well, I don't think
we're not aware of one.
We're not aware of one, and that's usually, as I understand, and I might be stand corrected if I'm wrong, I'm not a landscape architect, but I understand tree removal does require, it may require further diligence on whether an arborist thinks that the tree should be removed for safety reasons and so on.
Is there a council landscape person present at this panel meeting this afternoon?
Perhaps no, there's no landscape person, Chair. No.
Could they be available for our closed session after we finish?
Yeah, certainly. I'll try and get some information for you.
Okay. And could you confirm the status of this tree as a weed?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. All right. Thank you. Can we move on to our next speaker? Thanks to those presenters. Item four.
Thank you.
We'll make a determination later this afternoon, so thank you. Michael Favolora. Sorry. Are you there, sir, Michael?
Hi, Chair. Hey, panel.
And it's item four you're addressing us on.
Correct. I'm the applicant for the modification application. I'm in support of council's recommendation for approval. Just make myself available for any questions as they may arise by the panel.
All right, thank you. Panel, do we have any questions of the applicant?
No questions.
Thank you, sir, for being available. We'll deliberate over the recommendation and make a decision shortly. Thank you for attending.
Thank you.
The next item I have is item five, and I have a Peter Lonergan. Peter's the applicant. And Peter, what would you, you've read the report. I assume you're happy with the recommendation. Would you like to address the panel or answer questions?
Thanks very much, Chair. We're yes, we are happy with the report. I registered to speak before I had a chance to read the report. So we're pleased with the report. It's comprehensive, and because it's in our favour, of course we're happy with the report. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Does the panel have any questions?
No questions.
No, Chair.
Thank you.
No.
Mr. Lonergan.
Yes. Good to see you, Mr. Lonergan. Can we move on to the next item, which is, thank you. Item 6, 9 Prospect Street is our next addresser, and it's Helena Miller. Helena?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Terrific. Like the other applicants, I'm here on behalf of the applicant for 9 Prospect Street. We've read the report and we're very happy with the recommendation. We've also reviewed the conditions of consent and we're happy with those. We don't see any problems. So, again, just here to answer any questions if you have any.
Right. And we also have...
We have
your architect here.
Yes, Nicole Raven. She's here too, just in case there were any questions in respect of the architecture. But as I said, the council seems to be very happy with the application and we're happy with the report. So,
all right. So can you just bear with me a moment? I'll check with the panel. Panel, do you have any questions for either of the applicant's representatives?
No.
No, Chair.
No, thank you, Chair.
Thank you for your attendance. A very easy afternoon so far for you.
Thank you very much. See you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
The next item I have is item 8, and it's Tony McLean. Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And Tony, do you wish to address the panel this afternoon? You've read the recommendation?
Yes, I'll continue with your easy afternoon. I'm quite happy with the recommendation.
You're a gentleman, a scholar, sir. Thank you. It's not a fait accompli, but we'll deliberate over the report at the conclusion of the presentation. So any questions of Mr. McLean?
No, not yet.
No? Thank you. Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair.
The next one I have is item 9. Pardon me, Anthony Green. Anthony, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Great.
And the question is, do you want to address the panel?
No, only to say that we, the applicant and myself, completely agree and are very happy with the proposed conditions of consent, and that I'm only here to answer any questions if anyone has them. And I see no reason to add anything further to the very pleasant conditions that the council is suggesting.
Well, that's marvellous, Mr. Green. Thank you. Any questions of Anthony Green?
No. Thank you.
No, Chair. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You haven't got an approval yet, but you...
No, that's true.
You're a step down the road. The next item I have is item 10. And this one, we have an objector. And I have Riley Edwards, and I saw your name pop up on the screen there a short time ago, Riley. So I believe you're in the gallery.
I am. Thank you. Thanks, Chair. Thanks.
Riley, would you like to address the panel, identify yourself, where you live, and tell us what you'd like to tell us?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Thank you.
Great. So I'm at 39A, which is next door to the proposed 41. Our place is a recent build. We purchased it completed. I understand our property has the same architect as the new one. The houses have an east-west aspect, and we have a large full-floor north-facing window, which provides all the light to pretty much the entire house, excepting the living room during the day. All the light from the north outside of the morning and the evening comes in through that. So it's it gives the light to the stairway, the hallways, the kitchen, the bathrooms, and indirectly to the bedrooms as well. The proposed development has been acknowledged as non-compliant in a number of areas, and that includes the minimum setback, houses to be about a metre apart. Our main concerns around the solar access, and secondary around the visual privacy. So we can see from the overshadowing report and the proposal that it will have a big impact, and that's fairly obvious from when you stand at that window. I think the architect at the new house has acknowledged you'd have the same issue. They proposed to put skylights in to 41 to get that light in there. We don't have that option. We've got solar panels above and the house is already built. The privacy is a secondary concern. I'm assuming that they can do something to mitigate that, glazed windows or something else. So really it's the solar aspect. And we're looking for anything they can do, whether it's a light well, maybe it'd be better if the windows faced each other with a recess, whatever they could do to improve that solar access for that window. And that's my concerns.
Thank you. Panel questions of Mr. Edwards?
Chair, I have a question. So the privacy concern is to the recessed window on your property.
Sorry, that's you, Gary, is it?
Yeah, sorry. I'm sure Gary Chapman asking the questions. That window is similar position to yours, which is a window in the proposal for the stair void. Is that the window?
Yeah, that's right. The two windows in their current proposal, they'd be slightly offset, but facing each other. The privacy is secondary. If they'd be better off facing each other for the light, I'd rather that. But it is a concern because obviously you can see in each other's windows.
Yeah, okay, I understand. Thank you.
Sorry, I don't quite understand. Could you just elaborate on that, please, Riley?
Yeah, so what would you?
Riley, would you?
Yeah. So our primary concern is the light. So anything
that I understand the light, concern.
That's an important one. If by improving the light situation, the two windows would face each other, so the recesses, because both windows are recessed, it impacted the privacy. I'd rather that. But regardless, there is a privacy concern. I'm assuming they'll do something like glaze the window or something to make that less of a problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just have a quick question for
thanks, Robin. Kim.
Yes. Thanks. I presume your floor plan doesn't show it, but the recess that you have, does that go into a stairwell as well, which is similar to the design next door?
It is very similar, yeah.
Right.
So, layout is very similar.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at North Point. There's not a lot that you could do to mitigate the solar aspect, given that if it was a repeat version of your property, there may be some small adjustment that could be made, but I think it would be fairly negligible. Has council been to look at your property before they prepared this report?
No, they haven't. I spoke to the council officer, but that didn't come up.
Right, okay. All right.
Okay.
Kim? Thank you very much. That answers my question. Thanks.
Perhaps the town planner, Andrew Martin, can address that comment that's been put forward by the objector. Are you there, Andrew?
Yeah, yes, I am. Thank you, Chair. I guess firstly we'd like to respond just globally. I guess everyone understands the application as made. They're east-west facing blocks or allotments. So I think the challenges that were confronted to the neighbour, the same sort of challenges that are confronted by this application. I think we'd like the panel to understand or just recognise that this application has greater rear setback. So the upper level is set closer to the street, the ground floor level. So there's some comments in the report about the rear setbacks in this building. But I guess as planners and doing this, not as long as the chair, but for 30 years, I think always east-west facing blocks have that challenge of obtaining northern light. It does that to the rear spaces for both these properties. I guess the minor variation to that side setback control, they've got that sliding scale. It is referenced in the report. They don't turn away from the issue. I think it's addressed in the report. The the fact is that even if it did comply, the extent of the bonus or the additional sunlight, there still would be gained by strict compliance is not sufficient to warrant refusal of this application. I guess there's not a lot you can do. The rooms are not excessive. The hallway's compact. The stair is as compact as you get. We do have some architects on the panel that could easily see that this is, there's no wasted space. There's not a superior design that would deliver significant improvements to that neighbour. And I guess in the same breath that the neighbour has, you know, purchased that property and it's got that light, then this property has and delivers that sort of same level to its neighbour. So there is a corresponding, you know, knock on with those east-west facing blocks along that site. So I guess as the applicants, we feel we've done what we can. We can address the privacy issues with obscure glazing to the light well. There still would be sort of ambient reflected light within that setback. Also, there is that one non-compliance, but in general, if you turn to the report, it does cover the other aspects of the DCP. We say it's in character. It follows the flow of development, and that it is compatible in that context, and it follows that rhythm of development in the area. So, yeah, there's not a lot we feel we can do. There will be some loss of light, obviously, but it is addressed in the report, and there isn't a an obvious better or superior design solution that otherwise you are cutting into the floor space of this development.
So
we comply, by the way, the 0.7 to 1, the residual lot will comply with the FSR control that governs the bulk and the scale of the building, as well as landscaped area and site coverage. Council's records would indicate, if you look at the clause 4.6 register for Inner West, there's quite a number of properties that along the way over the years have varied these controls, but the resultant development does comply with those 0.7 to 1 and site coverage and landscaped area development standards for the new lot.
Thank you, Andrew. The objector, indeed neighbour, made two requests. One you've said you'd be happy to meet, which is the frosted glass. As yep. I understood, the second one was a relocation of a window. Do you understand what he was suggesting there, and what do you
think? No, I don't. If you could clarify that for me, I'll just get to see what he's actually asking.
Well, before I go back to the objector, Kim, did you understand?
Yep, no, I understand exactly what Andrew was suggesting, the fact that there's a precedent that's been set on the West block. So,
no, sorry, do you understand what Riley, the objector?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I don't understand. No, so please ask that
question. I think I do, Chair. And
okay, Gary.
Mr. Edwards may correct if I'm wrong. Mr. Edwards is asking that the recessed element on the proposal aligns with the recessed element on his. So you have a greater separation at that point to allow more light in.
How do you feel about that, Andrew?
Well, am I correct, first of all?
Yeah, Riley, correct. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes, I'm getting a nod from Riley. Thank you, Riley.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gary. And Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, that requires a redesign of the ground floor as well. There's probably a knock-on effect of that.
Major surgery, is it?
In terms of design, there's knock-on effects. It's not just the upper floor. I think if it was a simple just slide the stair across or increase the landing to slide it. I don't think there's a solution that we could just handle on the upper level. Yes. Okay. But correct me if I'm wrong, but that's just a quick look at that. It would require both levels because there's no inefficient areas there. There's no fat to trim, so to speak, in that design. It's very compact. So you'd have to do it both levels. The fact that this issue occurs in this part of the building, I'm less willing to redesign the whole upper and ground floor. Usually it always worked to a solution. If there's something reasonably simple to do, and if it's not the time and the cost of redesigning that in an architectural sense, it's just whether it's warranted given that this sort of design emulates what was approved and on the adjoining site. So I think it requires upper and ground floor level redesign. So we would be, when I say we, I would be resisting that. I'd ask the panel to make the decision based on what they see and what they believe, whether this development is unreasonable in that sense. I appreciate the neighbour has made that suggestion, and it's quite an obvious one actually when you do look at it. But at the same time, we're here today that's been assessed, it's been in for quite some time. But that aside, I don't think it's going to give a significant amount of benefit. We have got that upper level set further towards the street than the neighbours, I believe. So there's a bit of a win there. I'll have to leave it to the panel to make that decision.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of Andrew?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Riley.
Thank you, Chair.
We'll make a determination shortly, and the determination will be on the council website in 48 hours.
Thank you.
The public gallery, that concludes the public side of our meeting this afternoon. So I'll bid you all farewell and thank you for your attendance. And we'll have the results out shortly.
Sorry, Mr. Chairperson, sorry, I was just expecting my application to be heard today, 91 Mort Street, and it wasn't mentioned. I'm Cherie.
Andrew, can you answer that?
Sure, Chair. 91 Mort Street is item number 7, yes. So it is on the agenda, but you've only gone through the items where someone was registered to talk.
So, Cherie, you weren't registered to speak, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. So is that okay? I don't need to do anything?
Well, are you the applicant or an objector?
The applicant.
Have you read the recommendation?
I haven't received any recommendations, and there's nothing on council's website. So I got told by the planner just on the phone that it would be heard today and there would be some recommendation for approval. And if that's the case, that's all fine. I just haven't received any correspondence on council's website or in person.
Can I respectfully suggest you should always avail yourself of the agenda? But
I never received that either.
I can tell you that it is a favourable recommendation.
Okay.
I can tell you that there's been no submissions received. I am prepared to give you the opportunity to speak if you chose, but no. If not, we'll move on as we were.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay. We'll make a decision on your item as we will all the rest. Very shortly.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Bye for now. All right. Again, that concludes the public section of our meeting. So I'll declare this part of the meeting closed at 2:40. Thank you, boys and girls. Can you just stay, our team, can you just stay on the line for a few?